This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to an episode of Tag Along. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and we have here with us Sheikh Muhammad Mani'.
Assalamu alaikum.
As-salam. Are you familiar with Marcus Buckingham?
No.
Marcus Buckingham, he used to work for Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
part of the survey?
The research foundation.
Yeah. And Gallup.
The Gallup poll. And like they do a number of different things. Even like Dalia Mujahid worked for Gallup previously.
Yeah.
So they do studies and things like that. He was involved with a study with Don Clifton on the subject of strengths. How does an individual discover their strengths?
Mm.
And so one of the books that he helped produce was Now Discover Your Strengths. And in it, he talks about the idea of how do you as an individual like know your strengths and go all in on that.
Mm.
And he basically divided it up into like three or four parts.
Mm.
And one thing is like really take a step back, look at yourself.
Mm.
What are your genuine talents?
Mm.
What are you naturally inclined towards doing that you do? But it's a raw thing.
Okay.
Right? Once you have that, it could be one thing, it could be a number of things.
Okay.
But you have to take that, that's your foundation. And on top of it, you want to put skills, like actual skills that are sharp, and knowledge.
Mm.
Like, and knowledge not as in just schooling, but knowledge as in like mentorship, as in books, as in
experience.
Well, not yet experiences, but like to know, to gain from the experience of others.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Take these two things. And then when you have that, then you apply it into an experience.
Okay.
Right? So maybe take a project or something.
Okay.
Like a weekend project, a month project, a 90-day project or something, or like even a job. You get a job to apply that skills and knowledge. And the idea here is over time, over years, over decades, collect sets of experiences, applying those skills and knowledge with the foundation of that talent. And the application of that through time, through years, through decades, will become your strength.
Mm.
And then when you have a particular strength, that's like your superpower, that because your experiences are so unique and they're founded within a particular talent that you have that that's unique to you.
Yeah.
And I think this is where we need to perhaps, and this is why, you know, somebody who's an introvert might have talents that an extrovert would never have had.
Yeah. The neither one is better or the ideal personality type. But that brings me to something really interesting. Talking about strengths, you know, there's also the aspect of what are my weaknesses.
Mm.
And that's also something that we learn from Musa is to identify my points of weakness
and own it, and be
honest
with
myself and honest with my creator.
The weakness that comes to mind is like,
well, we talked about it in another conversation where we talked about Musa being open when he talks to Allah and expresses his fears and his hesitations, right? Could that be a point of weakness? I mean, can we extract from that aspect of Musa and of what he says there that I should recognize what my points of weakness are and not be ashamed of them, but be open to working on them?
Yeah.
The one
weakness that comes to mind is like the idea that, you know, he was afraid of the fact that he had a knot in his tongue, right? Is that what it was? Was it a knot or was it, because I'm recalling from the class. Okay.
Yeah, that's something we talk about for a bit in the class. What did he mean by untie the knot in my tongue?
Okay.
What is meant by that? Was it a...
and open my chest, right? Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassir.
Yeah, expand my chest. Wahlul
'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli.
Yes.
And you know what? I think that could be the takeaway.
Yeah.
Understand this dua. Break it down for us.
So Musa comes to this place at this appointed time and Allah speaks to him. And that's where Allah tells him who he is.
This is at the
foot of Turi Sinai, at the Mount of Tur.
But it's not the burning bush.
It's where he saw in the distance a fire.
Okay.
And he followed the light of that fire. And when he came there, Allah called him.
Okay.
And he said his name.
Okay.
He heard his name, which is powerful. And Allah...
That's another point of da'wah.
Yeah.
To learn the name of the individual you're speaking with.
Yeah. Again, that's back to interaction. Having a like a genuine good quality interaction with this person.
Okay. You know? So he learned. So he hears his name.
He hears his name, and Allah tells him who he is. Inni ana rabbuk. He tells him, I am your Lord. Ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. He tells him that I am the only one worthy of worship. So worship me. Establish salah for my remembrance. And he tells him, go to Fir'aun. Then Allah gives him his mission.
Yeah.
What he needs to now go and carry out. And Musa's response to receiving that mission is, he makes dua and he says, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli.
What does that mean, broken down? So Rabbi shrah li, so Rabbi, my Lord.
He calls out to his Rabb, his Lord,
uh-huh.
And he asks for him to expand and open his chest.
So shrah li sadri, sadri, you know, his chest.
Yes.
Okay.
Sharh literally means to open something up clearly, to flatten it out. It's the word that's used to refer to explaining something.
If you
do a sharh of something, you're explaining it.
Oh,
but essentially, what do you do when you're explaining something? You're laying it all out.
Okay.
You're opening it all out there. You're removing any, you know,
so all
hidden
these books
parts,
are a sharh, whatever.
A sharh of that text is essentially laying it out, explaining, opening it up.
Okay.
And that's why the sharh is longer than the original text.
Okay. So shrah li sadri.
Yeah. Okay. So he asks for that expansiveness of chest.
Okay.
You know, when you receive something heavy, when you have a responsibility, you feel the pressure of it on your chest.
Mm.
You literally can feel it.
Yeah.
And so when he makes that dua, he's asking Allah to expand for him his chest and ease for him his affairs so he can carry this mission out.
Okay.
So he can, you know, do the absolute best that he can to fulfill this mission. And he says, وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He asks Allah to untie this knot in his tongue.
Okay.
So that his audience will understand him.
Okay.
So we speak about that for a little while. We spend some time with that in the course. What did he mean by untie the knot in my tongue? Is he referring to a physical, an actual lisp or a speech impediment?
Okay.
Or is he talking about, is the issue here a matter of eloquence?
Okay.
Or is it perhaps a language barrier?
Okay.
Or is it, you know, something affecting his ability to communicate effectively?
Okay.
I
mean, the language barrier, we were talking about how he'd been gone for almost over a decade, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's been away for a long time, and languages evolve and languages change.
Right.
That's something that some of the scholars discuss. Well, what's amazing is that he recognizes these are the hurdles, these are the issues that he needs to overcome.
Okay.
To carry out what Allah has commanded him to do.
Okay.
You know, and that's really a beautiful attitude and mindset to have when approaching what Allah commanded us with.
And one of the commandments that because we talk about da'wah, right?
Like, yeah.
Da'wah is it an obligation on the individual, of a community, both?
Yeah, both, I think, you know, depending on what perspective you look at it. And it's a responsibility.
Okay.
And it's a responsibility, and it's also
if we have the opportunity and we're not fulfilling that obligation,
we're at loss.
Is it something that we're going to be held accountable for?
There's definitely some level of account there, you know.
Okay.
Of course, this varies from person to person because people's abilities vary as well. So it's hard to make a blanket statement.
Their individual strengths and talents and knowledge and skills, all of that is...
Definitely.
Okay.
But even more broad than just da'wah, and I know it's a big part of our conversation here.
Yeah.
And kind of where we started off, we learn a lot of important lessons in da'wah from Musa and from this believer, this believing man. But also just generally speaking, Allah commands you to do something. Allah commanded Musa, "Idhhab ila Fir'aun."
Okay,
that's a command verb. Go.
Yeah,
you know, this is your mission. This is your obligation.
But he responds.
He responds.
Yeah,
and he responds to Allah, putting his trust in Allah, seeking help from Allah, seeking assistance. He understands that the only way that I can fully do what Allah commanded me to do is by asking Allah for help.
Okay.
Oh, Allah, help me to do what you told me to do.
Mm. Okay.
And approaching the commandments of Allah with that kind of mindset, that kind of attitude is I think, very wise and very, very appropriate.
You know, one thing we talk about is like I think there's a reality of Musa alayhi salam understanding and owning both his weaknesses and his strengths. I say one of the ways of attaining happiness is to invest in experiences, right? So it's like one could be happy in trying to build that strength because a collection of experiences in the app where you're applying your strengths, where you're applying your skills and knowledge, which is rooted in a talent, becomes a strength.
Yeah, that's really interesting because Musa learns so much through different experiences.
Yeah. So one could maybe even say that Musa, I said, through the challenges that he had, and through the hardship that he had, but still was a fulfilling life.
Yeah, but he didn't look to those experiences with a sense of bitterness or negativity, and that was Allah preparing him for something great. All those experiences, something always that interests me is. Allah tells us so much about Musa even before, way before he ever becomes a prophet.
Yeah, that's true.
Before he ever becomes a messenger. You know, all of those experiences, all those different phases and different chapters of life that he goes through,
I think that's even so
are preparing him for... And if you take each one of them all by itself, it may seem insignificant. I feel this is a really important lesson that Allah is giving us here, that we shouldn't belittle these different experiences and opportunities that we have, that they're building up to something great and important.
In addition to that, I think it's also very humanizing.
Yeah.
Like we talked about humanizing in another video, but the fact that we get to learn about this individual and their life, so that when it comes to all these other things, we get to appreciate so much more. And at the same time, it's also a reflection upon us.
Yeah. And that's why when we study the seerah, when we study the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also study a lot about his life before revelation, before prophethood.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Would you say it's a method of raising one's iman by learning about the individuals who are the messengers?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt. Definitely.
It's logical though, right? Because I'm thinking about it, right? Like if you're you have this message, no one, nothing.
It's inspiring.
It's like nobody's motivating. Worthy of worship except Allah. Okay, great. Okay, fine. I understand that. But who's mentioning that? Right? It's like, well, it's Prophet Muhammad was mentioning it. He's a messenger of Allah.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, what makes him the messenger of Allah? Why should I trust him?
Yeah.
Like, it's a logical question, right? Somebody's coming to you with a message. Mm. What's the credibility of the of that messenger?
Mm.
And if you learn about their life, you can appreciate so much more. Mm. And I think this is also a level of da'wah, a principle of da'wah. Again, I think there's so many lessons that we can come out.
So many.
It's like, if you're communicating with someone, can you communicate your own credibility?
Mm.
And can you establish rapport? Do you understand the nuances? Are you of them?
Well, the messengers didn't have to do that verbatim, you know, word for word at the time of delivering their message.
Yeah.
Their lives and their behavior
had already established all that.
And their, the different experiences established that credibility.
Yeah.
You know, which is amazing. You know, one of the things that we spend a lot of time with is the story of Musa getting married. And getting a job, and that lady that he ends up marrying, you know, after a very short encounter with him, she goes to her father and she recognizes some very important
characteristics
of Musa, that he has strength and he's trustworthy.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was, now strength can be something a bit more obvious, physical strength, that she saw him, you know, accomplish certain things that would require physical strength. But how did she discern that he is trustworthy? You know, it's through seeing how he's behaving.
Mm.
And once that was established, her father was like, all right, let's get you married.
Right.
You know, and it was a beautiful process. And there was so much beauty in the simplicity of it and in the genuineness of it.
Mm.
Even though if you think about it, Musa's coming from a place and from an experience and his state of being is probably not one of wealth and of prosperity and of, you know, Allah knows, you know, well, what kind of struggles he went through.
At the time.
He escaped.
Yeah.
He fled.
He was,
you know?
Yeah.
How would you look if you just
fugitive?
Fled? You know, it's incredible. But yet those character traits that he had must have been so apparent and so, you know, prevalent in how he carried himself that they recognized this is a good guy to be married to, and this is a good guy to have, you know, as an employee.
You know, oh man, there's so many lessons. Like I can just pull the.
We just keep going all night.
I know, right? It's just like the idea, because what is he fleeing from? Yeah. He accidentally killed somebody.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, there's so many people that are in prison, right, who committed a crime. And imagine them being told, look, you're a good person.
Mm.
I would imagine that would be something that's empowering and uplifting for somebody who is in that situation.
Mm.
And I guess even for him to be told, like, look, this guy is strong and trustworthy.
Mm.
Like that must have been uplifting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think just to come to a close, let's get to takeaways, right?
Yeah.
I think a couple of... If we were to bring it down, right, I think there's a couple of du'as that we can put into practice, right? Amongst them is the du'a of Musa.
Yes.
Rabbi shrah li sadri.
Rabbi shrah li sadri.
Wa yassir li amri. Wa ahlul uqadatam min lisani yafqahu qawli.
Yeah.
Right? And we're talking about how people, they say this before they got to make a presentation.
Yeah.
How
big phobia. Big phobia is
people would rather die than speaking. Yeah, talk publicly.
Yeah.
So that's one. And I think another one is assuming we covered the topic beforehand, but the dua after we get after we finish salah.
Yeah, our beloved messenger taught us. Yeah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik.
So Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik.
Yeah.
And we're asking Allah to help us
to remember him, ala dhikrika,
to
remember him and to be grateful to him and to worship him in the most beautiful way.
Husni ibadati.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So just like how Musa was asking Allah for help in delivering this message. Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you benefited, found value in this.
Inshallah.
Think of one person that would find value in this just as you have and send them this. And put what you've learned into practice. I know we discussed a lot of things, but it's not so much about covering everything. Mm. And even actually from the class that you teach, what would you consider a win for an attendee who goes into Once Upon the Nile, the Epic of Moses, and when they come out of it?
Success for me would be a person coming out of the course feeling... empowered and motivated, and feeling that they have the ability to open the Quran and read it, and at least, you know, if they feel intimidated by certain sections, you know, not to feel intimidated by the stories in the Quran, and to at least start there.
So
make
win
that
for anybody,
the place where you springboard from, read these stories, spend time with them.
Yeah,
it's okay to read really slow.
Okay,
it's okay to pause for a long period of time after one word or one verse. It's okay to reread a section, no matter how small, dozens of times. That's what we should be doing, you know? And relating that back to our lives and extrapolating profound lessons, that would be a win, you know?
Cool.
Never mind all the dozens of lessons that we can learn from the actual content and
the actual life
of Musa himself. Okay. Wallahu a'lam.
All right, guys. Assalamu alaikum.